Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know what's nice? And when we get out there, we get lots of shots on net. We know, you know, if you don't shoot the puck, you're not going to score. So a lot of our goals come from just rebounds in front and, you know, just greasy, dirty goals. And, you know, that's what wins hockey games. So we just got to keep doing that.
That's Sabres forward Dylan Cousins following one of the games the other night as the Sabres are starting off the season pretty darn well. 3-0-0, one of the surprise teams in the NHL. We'll get to more of the surprising notes in just a moment. But right now, joining me on the Wester Hotline is a good friend of the station who comes on with me to give an update on the NHL and what's going on around the league every once in a while. David Pagnotta from the Fourth Period joins me right now on WGR. David, it's great to chat with you once again. How are you on this fine Friday afternoon?
I'm doing great. I'm gearing up for a flight in a couple hours, heading over to Seattle to catch the Kraken's, I guess, first official home game.
Very nice.
So pretty jacked for that. And the fact that we've got a full season that we're rolling with this year. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have hockey back once again, a full 82-game schedule. Mind you, COVID is still an issue around the league. I'll get to that with you in a little bit, but we'll start off with Sabres stuff right now. And before we get to Jack Eichel, I just want to get your overall thoughts on just the surprising start to the season for the Sabres. They're starting out 3-0-0 in the first three games. And yes, mind you, it is three games, but certainly in the three games that they've played, they've had quite a significant advantage against their opposition that they've played.
Yeah, well, they're getting contributions across the lineup so far, and this kind of is a trickle effect from, you know, how they were playing last season, quite frankly, with Granato behind the bench and just playing with a little bit more confidence, a little bit more loose, all that, you know, stigma around the team with everybody wanting out and things like that's off their shoulders. Reinhardt's gone, and you know, Ristolainen's in Philly, and Jack Eichel will be moved at some point. So all of those kinds of distractions are pretty much out of the room. So you can play with a little bit more confidence. Now, how sustainable this is going to be over the next, you know, 78 games, we'll obviously wait and see. But this has been solid so far. And, again, you're getting contributions from, you know, guys that are now, you know, factoring into not just Olofsson, and you get two goals from Thompson, but Skinner with a point a game in the first three. Poso, a couple goals and an assist. Gergensen's back in the mix with 4 points. I mean, they're getting contributions up and down, and the goaltending has surprised a lot of people, myself included, with how solid it's really been to date with Tokarski and Anderson.
All right, David, so I'll jump right in here with Jack Eichel. The latest with him from Emily Kaplan last night, and this has been speculated for some time, but it seems like that trade talk has quieted down, so now the plan of action for the Sabres is at this point to pretty much, I guess, bombard the organization with medical opinions from around the universe pretty much, or around the league, just pretty much saying, hey, you know, supporting the artificial disc replacement surgery for Eichel going forward. What are you hearing from your sources or around the league circles with the Eichel situation, with the latest on what's going on there, and maybe what's next for the Sabres and Eichel?
Yeah, I mean, look, this isn't a scenario where they're tabling trade talks, and they're just saying, you know what, just we don't like what's going on, forget it, nobody call us. I mean, they're still open. Kevin Adams' line is still wide open. Him and Pat Brisson, the agent for Jack Eichel, are still very much in the mix and engaged in conversations with other teams. It just hasn't been as heightened as they had expected, or at least Eichel's camp anyway, because the Sabres continue to hold a very firm stance in what the asking price is. And while they understand that there will likely be conditional assets that are going to be part of this deal, they're still holding on to whatever the initial package is going to be. So, you've got that factoring in. And, really the price hasn't changed. It's the equivalent of four first-round picks is kind of part of it. You mix of prospects, current NHL players, actual draft picks. So that's the bulk of the asking price. But now is it, okay, we'll give you two of those things up front and the other two will be conditional. The Sabres may say, well, we want three and we want two conditions on top of it or something to that effect. So that's really put a hamper in expediting a trade because their position has been so firm really from the get-go. So from some advice and some suggestions, look, the NHL and the NHLPA are also part of this. They're checking in every now and again to see how things are going here. And the suggestion was, all right, well, let's try to get some additional opinions of the artificial disc replacement surgery and siphon that back to the Sabres to see if they would ease their opinion on their positioning. So that's effectively where we are at this stage with the Eichel situation. They're still very much, having trade talks and willing to have those discussions. But again, the price hasn't changed. So now this is a matter of other people factoring in, saying, okay, how do we ease the concerns of the Sabres even further? Let's try to get a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh opinion on this, and hopefully it helps. But that's kind of where we are right now, as frustrating as it may be for really everybody at this stage involved.
Is there any indication, at least, that the Sabres would be willing to change their mind on the possibility of allowing Eichel to get this artificial disc replacement surgery, or are you hearing that the Sabres are still pretty firm on the fusion surgery being the best option for Eichel here?
Yeah, they're still. I mean, that's their position. It hasn't changed. Now, if these other opinions that are coming in sway those minds at B, I'm not sure, and we'll obviously have to wait and see. But their positioning hasn't changed. Now, the odd thing out of all of that is the teams that are interested and are still in the mix in trying to acquire Jack is their positioning is different. They're willing to allow him to have disc replacement surgery, which is why they're willing to make these types of offers and have conditions associated with it in case things go south. Mm-hmm. But they seem to be comfortable with it. Why the Sabres are not changing their minds, I mean, you ultimately have to ask them. I don't know. I've tried, and nobody's given anybody a straight answer.
Hmm. So with the trade talks, at least, is it still a focus on maybe looking to teams out west, trying to not have Eichel in the Eastern Conference, or is there still a team like the Rangers involved in the mix? What are you hearing in terms of teams that are still interested and potentially okay with allowing Eichel to have this artificial disc replacement surgery?
It sounds like they're predominantly teams in the Western Conference, but at this point, I mean, I think Kevin Adams and the Sabres are willing to take on whatever the best package is, regardless of where it comes from. They'll ultimately pull the trigger on what that deal is. Now, if it's the East, it may be a little bit higher, the price. If it's their own division, it may increase the price a little bit more. But if they get whatever that asking price is and teams are willing to pay that price, at this stage, they don't care where he's going. They just want to make sure they get the best return possible. We saw Reinhart go to Florida, and we saw Ristolainen go to Philly, both in the East. So, for them, it really doesn't matter as long as the package they get is the package that they want. We still are hearing Vegas. We're still hearing Anaheim and Calgary and some other teams. San Jose, we've been hearing a lot of kind of up and down, but, I mean, they're not doing anything until they know definitively what the future holds for Evander Kane, especially with that $7 million cap hit. So that's another factor. We know other teams that have knocked on the door in the Minnesotas and St. Louis's and a few others that have, L.A. as well. It doesn't sound like they're in that mix right now. But the other team, Columbus, was another club that was looking around as well. So we'll see. I haven't heard much on the Rangers at this point. It would take I don't even know what it would take because I'm trying to think from a cap perspective, and people have been asking around the league.
Right, yeah.
Not just this season, but next, like Adam Fox has to sign, and they just signed to Zibanejad. So I don't see the Rangers being realistic at this point. just primarily from a cap perspective.
Very good. David Pagnotta from the fourth period joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Let's go around the NHL and get some thoughts from you, David, on just some of the teams that maybe are, you know, for good or for bad, being a surprising team. Right now, looking at least in the Atlantic Division, we know that the Montreal Canadiens are just really struggling through the first five games, and it's tough because they don't have Carey Price in net. He's in the NHL's assistance program, dealing with his mental health issues, and also they don't have Shea Weber on the blue line. Just what's going on in Montreal right now, and how are they trying to handle an abysmal start to their season?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been. I mean, first of all, I get, you know, you come out of the gate and you play four, and the, you know, they played actually a really solid game against Toronto in their first game of the season, and then it just kind of trickled and got worse and worse and worse. And you saw after last night the frustrations really boiling over in Montreal and on the bench. Disallowed goal by Brendan Gallagher gets called back, and that changed the flow of the game. And once that happened, you kind of, you know, you get the wind back in you, and then it just comes right out of those sails when the goal gets disallowed. So it's added frustration. It's trying to overcompensate. It's trying to force the issue because they've got some very good talent on this team. They're just not being they're not driving the play, and they're not effectively exiting their zone properly in a manner in which creates offense. They're just trying to dump it out and then hope that they can create something at that point. There's nobody on that blue line or really anybody that's going to control the puck in their own zone in the first five games of this season that have been able to create exit zone opportunities that lead to offensive chances for this club. So it's a matter, I mean, it's a perfect storm for them. And yes, the injury to Weber and not having Joel Edmondson there for family reasons, not having Price there in net, I mean, all of this plays a factor too. But I mean, really, it's now getting to a point where they're their own worst enemies and trying to overcompensate. And I mean, they've got an opportunity against Detroit on Saturday, but I mean, you know, we'll see. The Wings are playing pretty decently as well, so you never know.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the rest of the Atlantic Division right now, and right now in the standings, I mean, Florida has been an absolute train, just rolling through everybody right now at 4-0-0. 8 points right atop the division. Then you got Buffalo, Detroit, Toronto, Ottawa's there. And then the bottom three are Tampa Bay, Boston, and Montreal. Are we starting to maybe see the rest of the teams in the Atlantic Division, I mean, maybe outside of Buffalo to an extent, but catch up in terms of talent level and catch up with the top teams in the Atlantic Division? Or, you know, with it being so early in the season, do you think things will start to begin to sort itself out and we'll see the top crop teams being at the top and some of the other teams kind of filtering down?
Yeah, I mean, look, we see this every season. Shortened season, full 82-game season. Teams have a tendency, or I guess the hockey gods come in, and start to even things out as the season progresses. So, you know, a crappy 0-5 start for Montreal. Are they that bad? No, and things will eventually even out. But they may be digging themselves too big of a hole at the end of the day, whereas you see teams like Florida that were on the cusp last season that got better and are now starting to propel themselves among the top elite in the National Hockey League. You've got those. You've got the younger players on Detroit and Ottawa that are starting to make some headway in the National Hockey League, and that'll keep things a little bit even. So we may not see teams like we had in the past, like Tampa's or Toronto's or even Florida and Boston that would run away with the standings now because the competition is getting tighter and you've got a better Buffalo Sabres team, a more confident Sabres team, more confident Detroit team. I mean, I'm not saying these teams are going to be in the playoffs this season, but they're going to make life difficult for those other contenders that are out there. And, you know, if you're playing a six-game series over the course of the season, in, you know, yesteryear, you would probably be 4-2. Well, maybe it's going to be, you know, 3-2-1 or something to that effect. So the competition is starting to spread out a little bit more because we're seeing the younger talent that are really starting to make an impact on a lot of these clubs, not just in this division, but across the NHL.
Chicago now, and talking about teams that have been disappointing right off the bat. Chicago's another team that is yet to win so far in the regular season. Five games, they're 0-4-1. And this is a team that in the offseason, they added a bunch of pieces. Seth Jones, they added Marc-Andre Fleury in goal to stabilize themselves there. They get Jonathan Taves back after missing the entire season last year. What is going on with this Blackhawks team? I mean, a team that a lot of people had kind of pegged as, you know, maybe a team to surprise in the Central Division, to be a team to get back in the playoffs and help extend Marc-Andre Fleury's his playoff streak. But so far through five games, it's been kind of a mess there.
It has. There's a lot of questionable decision-making that has gone on. It looks like the structure in Chicago just isn't where it needs to be at this point. You're right. They got deeper. They made a lot of changes in the offseason. You're seeing, we talked about young kids earlier. Well, now Kirby Dach is going to have an opportunity to play a full season with the Hawks and be a top six guy. So between those additions and Tyler Johnson and the changes on the blue line and bringing in Marc-Andre Fleury, sometimes it takes a little bit. I mean, preseason's one thing. Once you get to the regular season, it takes a little bit of time to make all these adjustments. And you've got Jonathan Taves back in the mix, as you said. So, and after missing out on a full on a season, sometimes for teams like this, you know, it takes a little bit longer for them to get their legs under them and to play cohesively. DeBrincat and Kane are doing good things so far, as we would expect. But it's sometimes when you've got a full lineup with so many changes and so much turnover, it just takes a little bit more time. I'm not going to write this team off just yet by any stretch, five games in, but I want to see, once they get to the 10-game mark, if they can't get, you know, let's say three out of the next five in the W column, it may be, a tough sledding for this club moving forward. But I think five games in, give it a few more, I think they're going to start to get things going for this club. They should, if not, yeah.
Yeah, would Jeremy Colleton's job be in question then? Could it be a situation where if things continue to go south that they make a change?
Yeah, I don't think it would be that early on because he seems to have a lot of confidence from upper management.
Okay.
But if we do get to a point in the quarter mark where this team is, you know, at the bottom of the barrel significantly, then I could see that kind of playing out. It wouldn't surprise me at that stage. Again, I don't want to write them off just yet because with teams that make this kind of turnover, sometimes it takes a stretch before they can get things going. But if we're, let's say, the 25-30 game mark, and this team is as poor as they are in the five-game mark, then, yeah, you could definitely justify the fact that this team may be looking at making a change behind the bench.
Last thing I'll ask you here, David, and you made mention of this right off the bat when we were chatting with you. You're heading to Seattle for this weekend's home opener for the Kraken on Saturday. They're playing the Canucks, their new, I guess you could say, arch rival, even though they haven't played yet, but, I mean, they're they're just across the border from each other. What have you seen from the Kraken so far through their first four games of the year? What are you looking forward to seeing in terms of going to their home opener and seeing what they can do for the rest of the season, I guess?
You know, this was a team that was advertised as being built from the crease out. Sound defensively and strong and physical and tough to play against. And they've given up 19 goals on the season so far in their first five games. And they've scored 11, which is kind of middle of the pack. But, I mean, they've given up the most in the Pacific Division, third most in the West. I think that goes for the entire NHL as well. So this is a team that needs to be a little bit more responsible in their own zone. It seems like, based on, you know, watching them play from afar anyway, that they're the ones that are trying to rush the offensive game and trying to create or force plays rather than create opportunities. And that leads teams, when you start doing that, it leads clubs to being a little bit more kind of weak in the defensive positioning. You're not bailing out your team as much. You got too many opportunities that are now being created for the opposition when you're trying to force the offensive numbers and the offensive game. So you're kind of leaving your goalie out to try a little bit. Maybe only one defenseman is back. It looks like that seems to be the issue, at least out of the gate for this club. I think this is going to be a middle-of-the-pack kind of team, challenging for a wild-card position. I don't know if they're going to get there this season. I like the makeup of the team. It just looks like they're trying to do a little bit too much and focus too much on the offensive game and they were built to be a sound, structured defensive squad that is physically tough to play against. So while they are tossing the body around a little bit, they need to get back to what the initial diagram of this team was going to be. And then I think they'll get back on track for this season.
Very good. You can follow David on Twitter at The Fourth Period. You can follow his work over at thefourthperiod.com. Mr. Pagnotta, it's great to talk with you once again. I hope you and your family are doing well, and we'll chat again sometime soon down the road. And, you know, I'm sure it'll probably be something about Eichel one way or another.
Yeah, I hope the next time it's, hey, guess what? He got tricked.
Right.
So that would be great.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.